Happy July 2nd, everybody. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Street Day 12 Education Talk Radio. And I think everybody is going to have half a day off today because of the July 4th holiday falling on Saturday. Today's a Thursday. We'll all have tomorrow off. So I want to wish you a happy, safe, and socially distant, if I may, July 4th. I just want you to be safe. We don't want to lose any of you. It's everything's spiking out there, so please be careful. We have an excellent show with my good friends from Cox Communications, all right? Jen Ernest is the leader of their national strategy for Internet adoption. She's with us. Specifically, she runs their Connect to Compete program, which is a low-income Internet adoption program for kids and families. This is key these days. We talk about equity and access. I'll get into that in a second. And we also have from Cox, Ashley Perkins, who's their VP of Cox Business in Nebraska, Iowa, and Idaho. And I can't remember. I think Nebraska and Iowa are contiguous, but I think Idaho is a little further away than that. I'm going to find out from here, but she's been in the business a long time. She's one of the experts on the CARES Act and distant learning solutions for our schools in her area. We can extrapolate that out from the great and glorious Midwest and Northwest of Idaho and find out what's going on. We're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org. We will tweet it out over at EduTalk Radio like we always do, and we also have Facebook over at Larry Jacobs and EduTalk Radio, then LinkedIn is Larry Jacobs. You can friend, link, follow, whatever you want to do. More importantly, equity and access is key. That's what we're going to be talking about today and what Cox is helping school districts to do with that. We have a whole website devoted to that, and that, of course, is ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. The ACE-ED is an acronym, American Consortium for Equity in Education. We invite you to join ace-ed.org. Everything's free. And you'll also see our wonderful online journal, the official journal of the consortium, which is ACE, Equity and Access. And this particular issue is brand new. You'll see a big icon in kind of the middle of the page. Click on it, flip through the magazine. You'll see some great advertisers, some absolutely superb editorial about equity and access. And this, more so than ever with the pandemic, the age of equity and access. So again, ace-ed.org. Let me bring on Jennifer and Ashley. Pretty names, by the way. Good, I like that. Ladies, are you there? Ashley, you there?
Yes. Thanks for having us this morning.
Well, my pleasure. Call me Larry, please, and it's a pleasure to have you here. Believe me, good friends over at Cox. Okay, and I'm going to appreciate your insights into this. Jen, are you there?
I'm here. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning to you, and welcome to you as well. Now, for the major question before we get into this, is Idaho touch Nebraska and Iowa?
It does not. It's quite a trip to cover Idaho from everywhere else.
Thank you. What's north of Nebraska? North of Nebraska is Dakota, right?
South Dakota, yeah.
And then what?
Yeah,
what's
South
next?
Dakota.
Oh, then you got
North
Wyoming
Dakota's
and Montana.
There.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. It's beautiful country, but it is a bit of a leap to get there.
It is, but lucky you. That's where the boys are.
Yeah.
Get it? B-O-I-S-E, Boise, Boise.
That's right. Yeah, that's
so
right.
I use that
and
joke.
The Sun Valley, Sun Valley area is not too bad if you have to go there. So.
Yeah, that's a beautiful part of the world, I got to tell you.
It
it's
is.
Just great. You're very lucky. And I'll tell you, Nebraska and Iowa ain't so bad either. And you're in Atlanta, right? Am I right, Jen?
That's right.
There you go.
I am
House
here
in Atlanta.
You're in the South.
Yep, I know.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
Be careful down there.
Today.
Things are spiking all over the place. This has got
know.
Me worried, for goodness sake. So just be careful.
I know. I was about to say, I think we're one of the five on the list for growing cases. So never a good thing.
No, it's not. It's a horrible thing. And just be careful. I keep saying this, you know, some good is going to come out of this. It cleaned the stables. We all got to see exactly where we were, what was needed. And hopefully we're going to get that together, which puts Cox into the driver's seat a little bit, because you guys are on top of the connection aspect of this, if I may. Okay, and I'm going to start, I'm going to start with Jen, and you're welcome to pass these to Ashley. But talk about Cox, okay? Since you're at headquarters, talk about Cox, and we'll just start here because as you, I hope you know, we are very interested in here in equity and access. All right, we've been screaming about that for years, and then we all fell off the cliff together. We've been publishing our magazine. You guys are in there. And obviously by supporting us in the consortium, you believe in diversity, you believe in equity, you believe in inclusion. And we love you for that, and we appreciate for that. Okay, so talk about what Cox is doing, how you feel what your work does supports those things, especially in this day and age of, I'll say it, equity and access, and I'll add social justice for everyone and making sure everybody's included. Jen, that's the world's problem. You may answer that now, Jen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
so,
but you're helping.
You know, we are a little ahead of the curve. You know, we launched our program, our Connect to Compete program, nationally in 2013. So we have a long history of this mission. Our founder, you know, was an educator, James M. Cox. So it's definitely core to our values and beliefs at our company. So, you know, very thankful to be a part of the mission. And we've connected to date over 700,000 low-income individuals. So we're definitely making a dent. There's a lot of work to do, but from a digital equity perspective, you know, it's interesting.
Yeah.
Common Sense Media recently announced their report that they did post-COVID on closing the digital divide in the age of distance learning, K through 12.
Yeah.
And I think we all knew what a problem it was, but I think, you know, COVID-19 definitely exacerbated and really showed what
Let me just say,
thought.
We knew about it. We talked about it with our magazine and our consortium. We've been screaming about it for years, and everybody talks a good talk. All of a sudden, talk was over, and we realized we didn't take enough action. Couldn't agree with you more.
That's
this
right.
really exposed
That's
what
right.
we need. And as bad as this lousy pandemic is, it brought us all to see, my God, we really need to do something about this now. Okay, more talk.
Yeah.
Sorry, I had to do my soapbox. Yeah.
No, absolutely. It's no longer just a homework gap, right? Now, these
yeah.
students are at a disadvantage of learning. And so they're being, put behind their peers. If they don't have a connection or a device at home, they're, you know, not learning math. They're not learning reading, and they're really falling behind in those core subjects. So,
absolutely,
I think it was staggering to see, you know, the numbers that they released. Having 50 million K through 12 public school students, they're saying 30% of those are living in households without an internet connection.
Think about
or an
that.
Adequate device.
Think about that. We the three of us. I know that I don't know you ladies, but the three of us sit down at our computers every day and we expect things to work and we're connected to the world. Think about if that didn't happen. Just put yourself in that.
That's
in the,
right.
In the shoes of those kids and their moms and dads, okay, and their grandmoms, et cetera, who it's just absolutely unbelievable. I wanted you to go over one other thing. We've mentioned it.
Mm-hmm.
Connect to Compete program. Just tell everybody what that is so they understand it. They may want to Google it.
Yeah, absolutely. So our Connect to Compete program is our low-cost internet for low-income families. So we offer that at a discounted price of $9.95, and it really includes everything that a student needs to get connected. We have no contract, no activation fees, no deposit. We include equipment, a Wi-Fi modem for them to connect to the internet. We also include installation. As a Cox customer, you get access to thousands of our Wi-Fi hotspots. And from a Connect to Compete perspective, you know, we look at it as a three-legged stool. And so our expertise is in connectivity, and we partner with those whose expertise can supplement that. So those who are experts in equipment. So we launched a partnership which provides discounted refurbished equipment to customers who need that. We definitely don't want that to be a barrier to adoption. And then digital literacy training. So we have online resources for students and families through our Cox Digital Academy. So that is
it's all good stuff. Cox Digital Academy,
program.
COX, and then Connect to Compete program. People can Google that. And let me just ask you, I'll just use me as an example. I live in Maine, all right? Would I be able to, would I qualify to for Compete Connect to Compete?
Unfortunately,
said Compete to Connect.
Unfortunately, we do not serve Maine, but
that's okay. Nobody else does either. But go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Poor little Maine.
We are nationwide. We have focus in, Ashley's neck of the woods, which she referred to earlier, in our central region, Southwest. We have high presence in Arizona and California and Southeast Louisiana, Virginia, some Northeast. I think we get as far as probably Connecticut, Rhode Island, up your way.
Yeah. Okay, cool. No, I just always like to ask so people can understand this. Again, everybody, Connect to Compete. Let me swing over to Ashley for a second. Ash, you're VP at Cox Business over in, again, Nebraska, Iowa, and Idaho. Okay, and I'm just curious. You deal with school districts and business all the time out there. Ashley, how is connectivity out there for kids? And I know those states can get pretty rural, like Maine, actually, like most states. But, these, they can get pretty rural out there. How is the connectivity?
Yeah, they absolutely can. I think the rural connectivity.
Wait a minute, talk right away. We can barely hear you. Hold it. Talk right into your.
Sure.
I want to make sure we can hear you. I think so.
Is that better?
Can you hear her well, Jennifer?
No, it's better now. Better now.
It's better now. Okay.
Okay. Good. All right.
Ashley.
Yeah, Nebraska, Iowa, those are somewhat considered rural communities, but we do have a lot of rural partners out there that also provide some discounted services as well. So I think as a telecom community, we've all done a really good job of trying to stem the digital divide out there, no matter where we live. And so, so obviously the larger communities have a little more access to fiber and some other things. But
sure.
I will say, in working with so many of these rural providers every single day, everyone really is focused on the greater good.
Yep.
And just trying to figure out how do we identify those students, for one, right, which our schools are helping us do. But that can sometimes be a tricky equation as well, because a lot of these students are a bit transient. So schools are dealing with
Good
multiple
point.
Different issues, right? So,
I
think inclusivity and diversity and other things are really pronounced right now. But I think we've always been really in the forefront of inclusivity and diversity. That's really in our DNA as an organization.
Nice.
We're number 17 on the 2020 on the this year's Diversity Inc. Top 50 Companies for Diversity. So again, we live it and breathe it, and this is our 15th time on that list. We have a very active LGBTQ organization as well. So for us and the social justice and the civil and human rights pieces that have really taken light lately, this is not something that we've just stepped into. We've always supported organizations and like the Equal Justice Initiative and the UNCF and the National Urban League. I sit on the Urban League board here in Nebraska as well. So we're committed to social justice and taking care of all of the people in our communities, not just the ones that have, the highest connectivity. Does that make sense? So
It does make sense. And let me say something. What you just said is all so important, all right, because if a company – now, a lot of companies say a lot, okay, and most people are not racist or anything or like that. Most people are not, okay, blatant racist, let me say it that way, okay. But a company – and I'm so glad you said that – a company like yours does, Cox Communications, it needs to reflect – the people they serve. And if a company, and I'll say it, or a school district, does not reflect the people they are serving, they are doing some harm out there. And they have to really look at those communities, and you just said, lesbian, gay people, okay, African-American people, whatever the case may be, the Urban League you just mentioned, okay, it's so important that the company is involved with that, because that shows that they care about the broad range of people, okay, that they are serving. It's not just lip service. So I want to thank you for bringing all that up, Ashley Perkins.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. And again, it is part of our DNA. So my organization in Nebraska, right, reflects what Nebraska and the areas look
Nebraska's
like.
Is good folks.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Salt of the earth, I'm telling you. Salt of the
they
earth.
They are. They are. Yeah. I know that. I know that. Okay, they're good folks over there. Okay, without question. Are you based in Lincoln? Where are you based?
I'm in Omaha.
Omaha. Okay. Thank
Omaha.
You.
Yeah.
I didn't know where you were. Mutual. And that's a very mutual of Omaha. That was a joke, and I'll never use it again as long as I live, because it. I don't know why you're laughing. It wasn't even that funny. Okay, but at
well,
any rate,
I hear it on occasion. I'm not going to lie.
Really? Really?
Yes.
I thought it was original. Yeah. There's nothing original anymore. Thank you for laughing. I appreciate that. Let me swing over to education. Ashley, and I know you're not literally calling on schools these days, okay, literally walking in the door and saying hi to the director of EdTech and the superintendent, but you are working with schools and you're trying, and I know superintendents, everybody's so busy right now, but they're crushed. You're the kind of company they need to help. With schools right now, what's happening in your conversation? What do they need? They look at you and they say, you're our people. Here's what we need. What can you do? What's going on? What are you hearing?
Yeah, you know, I kind of break it down to, a day in the life of a school system CIO,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Schools closed in Nebraska and many other states on March 14th. And effectively, at that time, they thought they were really measuring the COVID severity, right? They weren't really certain they were going to be closed forever. In fact, most of them were saying, well, this week after spring break, we're going to
We'll be right back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and so as a CIO, you've already dusted off your remote learning plan, and it's been either funded or woefully underfunded for many years, right? And so you've either made great progress in providing a one-to-one device available to all your K-12 students, or you're somewhere in between. Maybe your high school's done, but your elementary's not done, right? So you also know that many of your students have no connectivity in your home, as we talked about earlier.
Right.
You know that, right? And then you know a good majority of them don't live in the same home 2 days in a row. There's that transient piece. You know they don't. You kind of know maybe where they live on Tuesdays, maybe with mom in her apartment, but she may be with grandma down two doors down on other days or someone else. So that's a big challenge for a lot of our schools. So
I was talking just to relate this over to Jennifer in Atlanta. A friend of mine was talking to an elementary educator in Atlanta, and she said at the beginning of the COVID thing, a quote, we are supposed to teach them at home. Unfortunately, and this is accurate, 90% of the kids in my class are homeless.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
We have multiple school systems where the students in a class may do 100% turnover in a year. So that teacher is not teaching the same students that showed up on the first day at all. So, I mean, there are multiple hurdles here for our school system. So, you know, on March 27th, when President Trump signs the law, the $2.2 trillion CARES Act, it includes education.
Which, by the way, you are an expert in. I want to tell everybody
the term expert.
Just take the compliment. You're a CARES Act expert. As far as what you do goes.
I lean on some experts, let's put it that way. But I have
gotten
way
That's
deeper into it.
That's what experts do. They lean on other experts. Yeah. That makes you an expert. Yeah. Go ahead.
So, you're superintendent, you're the CIO, your superintendent picks up the phone or dials you up on the computer, and you quickly learn that there's money coming to your school. That's good news, right? But then the superintendent says, and the goal is to be prepared to offer some version of school that follows social distancing requirements by August 1st. Right. And this, that's pretty tight turnaround for anybody in technology.
Yep.
So, and schools are trying to figure out, is it distance learning? Is it part-time distance learning? Is it a rotation of days? Is it just the kids that, are in crisis? I think everyone's peeling this apart in many different ways based on their school systems. But the CIOs already know that bandwidth on hotspots is not enough to support the learning platforms.
That's right.
They're using Zoom, they're using Blackboard, they're using a lot of things out there to try to teach. And so, they're trying to figure that out at the same time. And at some point, they're going to have to go back to complying with the requirements for privacy for children, the Children's Online Privacy Act and the Children's Internet Protection Act.
Thank you for reminding me.
So they're going to need authentication and filtering. So these are all the things that they're telling us in different fashions and different versions that they have to try to figure out and figure out fast. So those are the conversations we're having, is, You know, what does cybersecurity look like? What are, you know, what kind of equipment are you guys using? Are you in the cloud? Are you not in the cloud? And how are you dealing with the increased cyber attacks on K-12 and malware attacks? So all of these conversations are making these CIOs and even the superintendents spin around a little bit, or a lot, actually.
Well, so what do you, with all that said, okay, and again, you're talking to these people every day, and I always heard this, you know, prior to COVID, okay, people would say with tech learning, with digital learning, that the key thing that scares them is privacy and security, okay? But I think the equity and access has taken the number one position in the horse race, okay, since March 13th. Okay, and I'm curious, what are you hearing, and what can you guys do regarding this?
Sure. You know, again, it's back to, you know, you're dealing with kids that are probably transient or often transient, right? So we've put together a plan that says, let's look at this in layers, okay? Let's use our direct connectivity, our wired connectivity, and provide our CTC product, which is fantastic. We know that that meets a certain number of students out there. Then let's offer the same connectivity that can be subsidized by the school via the CARES Act. So a 25x3 connection that can be subsidized by the school and paid for by the school. And then if we have the request from schools, which we are, they want a little more connectivity. So a 50x3 that could be subsidized by the school. So that gets you to your wired.
What does 60x3 mean? I don't know what that means. Do you say that?
Yeah, 50 meg download and 3 meg upload. So, you know, most of your content is being downloaded. Some of it, like a Zoom video call, might be an upload.
Okay. Did you know the answer to that, Jennifer? Jen, did you know that?
Yes, I did. I live this too.
Okay.
Yeah, we're all geeks. Yeah. We're all tech nerds. Yeah.
So they're looking for more bandwidth, if I can say that. It's that kind of thing, right? That seems to be top. So when you hear this, can you give that to them? How does that? What happens when they say that to you, Ashley?
Well, they give us a list of addresses that they know today either haven't contacted them or they know don't have connectivity. So we start there. The other thing we do is we work with our school systems to look at their community. So where are the housing units that you know that some of these children are either in or part-time in? So Section 8 housing is a great example. We can do really high connectivity bandwidth via Wi-Fi to these locations, and the schools can pay for those. We even have cities and counties right now looking to pay for Wi-Fi connectivity to some of these locations to help the schools. All of that, again, is either being paid for by CARES Act, or we've seen an amazing number of foundations and sponsors jump into this playing field to say, we want to help the schools. How do we help pay these bills? So then we said, okay, now we'll give you a platform so that you can pay for these student bills in one kind of lump sum, and we'll divide it out to their bills at the end. So we're really trying to work with the school where they're at with a solution that they think they need.
Wow. And knowing all this, and I'll go back to Jennifer and see if she wants to answer this. I'll ask you, Jen. Okay. Knowing all this, all you're doing, which is wonderful, is you're responding to their challenges right now. Okay, and that's, if I may, which is good. I don't mean this derogatory. It's a reactive approach, and it's great. Okay, but there's got to be some things that you're thinking of, and I hope everybody's thinking of, so this kind of thing never happens again where we're caught short. So, Jen, I'll ask you, but you can pass to Ashley if you want, about future initiatives. As Cox is learning this, okay, what's the future holding in connectivity and in digital learning? In what you're trying to do. And I know you guys deal with this all the time, but, you know, what are the thoughts out there?
Yeah, no, we definitely do. I mean, there's definitely emphasis from a network perspective on how we can support, you know, in the future more and more of this cloud-based, you know, future AI and other, learning approaches.
Exactly.
So I think that's definitely, you know, something we'll need to think through. But, you know, for this group in particular, to Ashley's point, you know, getting the word out about the solutions that we offer, that's been another real barrier. And so, you know, feet on the street, boots on the ground, you know, we kind of equate it to the get out the vote. Is how do we work with schools directly and, you know, our local public affairs teams, and how do we, you know, bring more awareness to these solutions that we offer for families. So,
you know,
you
bring up something that's really striking, and I know this for a fact. Although every school district will say they love the families and their community, some of them are not very good at communicating. They think they are, but in reality they aren't. About 15% of school districts, okay, have a professional communications director. Okay, there. I know that for a fact. Too few. And I just did a show yesterday with a Dr. Joyce Epstein, who runs a center all about this, Family Connections, over at Johns Hopkins. And it's a real challenge, is communications. And Ashley, let me swing back over to you. As you talk to these superintendents, that's something we have to really consider. Are they realizing that they may have a communications gap?
Yes, they absolutely are. You know, we're seeing a lot of them try to do surveys to ask, you know, do you want to come back to school? Do you not want to, you know, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, largely those go unanswered, right? I mean,
exactly.
So even items like, I need to install internet in your home, and if the parent's not involved, what do we do, right?
Yep.
Is a lot of hurdles that they're trying to get over. So they're using digital connectivity. They're using, you know, they're using cell phones to try to connect, to try to call out, to try to let people know what's going on. They're using an automated voicemail system. We are allowing them, you know, we have some PSA opportunities on our Cox Media, you know, lots of channels, and sometimes you'll catch a parent watching a show, right?
Yeah, I forgot about
that.
Every
media possible that we can throw at it, we're certainly trying to throw
at
it
really
with them.
That's really important.
Yeah. So, and, you know, developing like go back to school at home days where you would come pick up your equipment or your books, or, you know, we've done that with the Council Bluffs schools already, where they did a back to home school, and then we gave them bags and we tried to give them information on connected to compete. But so, you know, we are trying to help the schools communicate, but that is a significant hurdle for them. Absolutely.
Yeah, and by the way, we're talking here with actually Iowa and Nebraska and Idaho. It's nationwide. Okay, it's nationwide.
Yeah, it's nationwide.
And I'm telling you, 15%, that's all. There's, 12, 13,000 school districts, okay, not to mention the Catholic schools and everything else. Only 15% have a professional communications person. And when you don't manage your communications properly, and I'm talking about both internal and external communications, okay, and they have to meld together. Something else we're learning. Again, they would put that off, okay, 15%. We need 90%, not 15%, because communications, as we're now learning, matter. Okay, they
absolutely
really matter. And it's astounding. I forgot about the TV stations, et cetera, and that's really, really important with Cox, okay, that you can really get the word out. Yeah, That's just incredible. All right, so where should people go when they want more information about what you guys are doing? Jen, I'll ask you. You're at headquarters. Where do you want them to go?
Yeah,
school districts, schools. Yeah, schools and parents.
Yeah.
So that way, schools and
parents. Yes. On the web, you go to cox.com/c2c or cox.com/connect2compete, the number 2, as you said. And so there's lots of information there for families, for community partners, educators. We have a very robust toolkit for schools to use, again, to get the word out on how to get students connected. So definitely take advantage of those resources.
It's so important. I got to ask this. I hope they do that. Ash, when you talk to are your school districts aware of all this? I know you do your best, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think my account managers and my sales managers and my teams out there do a great job of working with the schools directly. You know, I would say sometimes the superintendents aren't the ones that are as aware of this as they should be. I know our CIOs and our IT directors. Yeah, and it's probably just because they have so much to say grace over. But, you know, we do try to make sure that we're connecting at multiple different levels via the public affairs team, the government affairs team, my team. So I think they are aware of it. I think, again, to your earlier point, communication to these students and to these adults in the home is really the challenge for them. So everyone needs to sort of ante up on how do we use every platform that we have to scream, you know, that this is available.
Yeah, well said, my friend, well said. Okay, this is wonderful. I want both of you to have a good and safe July 4th in Atlanta and in mutually in Omaha. Use the joke again.
Thank you, Larry.
Stupid. Okay. Thank you, Ashley. This is great.
Thank you.
Just keep up the good work. These people really need your help. And every school district really, really needs your help. And, Jen, just keep up the work for folks with low income. The Connect to Compete is really important. So you guys
absolutely
can sleep well at night, both of you. Okay? And
thank
I hope you.
You
do and get some good rest over the holiday. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. Bye-bye. Okay, that's Jennifer Ernest, who leads Cox Communications National Strategy for Internet Adoption, including the Connect to Compete program, which is for low-income folks. It's an Internet adoption program for children and families. And Ashley Perkins, VP of Cox over in Nebraska, Iowa, and she jumps a few states and goes to Idaho as well, because that's where the Boise are. I'm not going to even get into that, okay? That's not a good joke, and nobody's laughing anyway. We're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org, tweet it out at EduTalkRadio. Please join our consortium. We're all about equity and access. This is what we do. We want your voice heard at ace-ed.org. Read our magazine. Everything we do over there is free. I'm done until we come back again next week, so have a nice, safe holiday. July 4th.